Yo, welcome to How to Write a Novel. So I'm still on Jeju Island. I had about a month's extra to go on my South Korea visa because, did I mention this? But for some reason, Canadians get to have a 6-month visitor visa in South Korea. We're the only country, as far as I can tell. Everybody else gets the standard 3 months. Or if you're from an especially, I don't know, contentious country, you get less than that. But Canadians get a whole 6 months. Maybe it's because they love Anne of Green Gables. I don't know. But I took it because, you know, I'm just spinning my wheels till I can go back to Japan. I initially actually planned to fly back to Canada, but it didn't occur to me that it's the middle of summer. Like, I took a flight here to Asia in the fall that was semi-affordable. But this time of year, when everything's nice, the flight's like double and triple. It's terrible. So it's like, oh yeah, I guess I should just keep dicking around in Asia till the weather gets bad again before I fly home. So that's what I'm doing. And, you know, I thought maybe I'll go back to Busan or go to Ulsan or whatever. I don't know. But Jeju is so nice that I'm like, fuck it. I'm finishing out my time in Jeju. And I started doing this thing I mentioned last episode of walking around the whole outside of the island. And I'm like a third done. I think I'm going to make it, but I really can't say for sure. Who knows? But anyway, it's a fun thing to do. It's kind of cool. And I also mentioned how I've basically been taking a break because no reason. Just because traveling to Asia, my mind was so engulfed with Japan stuff that I was just like, man, my writing, I tried to stick with it, but it just wasn't getting done until I eventually just stopped beating myself up about it and I just gave up. And then I was back on the horse in South Korea because initially I was staying inside a lot because Seoul in the winter is full of pollution and it was kind of not that fun. But now it's the summertime and I'm circumnavigating a fucking island and yeah, I basically took another break. And additionally, this island, Jeju Island, has two major cities, quote unquote. It really only has one. It has Jeju City. And I wasn't staying there. I was staying in Seguapo, and I was having a seriously hard time finding coffee shops and just making that routine work. There are coffee shops, but they're pretty difficult to navigate, you know. There's this chain called Adia Coffee that I love because it has nice English language touchscreens, and it's so easy. And they don't have any in Seguapo. So I was just like, yeah, whatever, who cares? It's nice weather out. It's not like it's free to go to a coffee shop, you know, it's like $6 for a goddamn latte. Doing that every day is actually quite expensive. So I was like, ah, never mind, fuck it. And then as the weather got more and more hot, the idea of just like, oh, I'll just go sit on a rock somewhere by the seashore and do writing. It's like, no, I fucking won't. It is so goddamn hot out. In fact, speaking of that, I found a website about walking around the outside of the island. It's called the Olay Trail. I'm not taking the whole trail because it goes off on a lot of wild tangents. But this website I found specifically suggested not doing this time of year because it's so fucking hot. It's fucking, is it June or July? It's still June, but it's fucking hot. And I was like, you know, that's probably good advice, but this is when I'm here. What can I do? So I'm doing it. I'm doing the walk in the horrifying weather. But I've made it far enough on the walk around the outside of the island that Seguapo's down in the southern middle and Jeju City's in the northern middle. I'm close enough now to Jeju City that instead of taking a bus all the way around the outside to get back to where I left off last time, now it makes just as much sense to go straight north, right to Jeju City, and then take a bus from there. So today's the first day I did that. As you can hear from all the traffic and shit, you know, it's a city. It's a city for sure. Seguapo's a lot chiller. But I got off this bus, and what's the first thing I see? An Adia Coffee. And I'm like, all right, dog, I'm stopping in there. And especially with this horrifying heat, it's a long bus ride too, so I didn't drink any coffee this morning because I didn't want to have to pee on the bus. It's like, I don't know, is it 90 minutes? It might not quite be that long, but it's a pretty long bus ride. So I get here, I haven't had any caffeine, it's so fucking hot, crazy hot, and man, it was a good feeling after doing almost no coffee shop stuff lately. to leave the extreme heat, go into a nice air-conditioned Dia coffee, go to the touchscreen, order a toffee nut latte or whatever with an extra shot of espresso, large iced, and just cool down and then get that blast of double caffeine when I haven't had any coffee yet today. And I was like, oh, this is so good. And I sat down and did some writing and it's just like, yeah, just slip back into it like a glove. So maybe now this will be a thing, you know, if I keep taking this route, which I guess I will be, for at least the time being and maybe the whole rest of the trip. Because I can always just come up to Jeju City and then just start taking the bus, you know, even around the western side of the island once I get there. So assuming I get started early enough in the day that I have time to stop at the coffee shop, I have a feeling the writing routine is coming back, coming back with a vengeance. But I do have to make sure I get started early enough in the day because I found out the other day, the hard way, that the buses stop very early on this island. By 10 p.m., they're done. I got stranded like halfway across the island. It was something like 40 kilometers from home. You know, it would have taken, the sun would have been up. The buses would have started running again in the morning before I fucking was able to walk that. So I had kind of a weird adventure of just wandering through the night, trying to see if I could find a night bus, then seeing if I could find, how do I catch a cab, and I couldn't find anything. It really is a pretty rural place, besides this one city. And I eventually ended up just like taking a little nap next to a beach, because it was really warm, at like 3 a.m. And then finally a fucking cab came by and rescued me and took me home. It's one of those like type 2 fun, you know? It was kind of stressful and fucked up at the time and not what I expected to happen. But in hindsight, I'm gonna remember napping next to the beach. It was so beautiful, you know? Good memories, even if it wasn't necessarily a good day. But yeah, I feel like this should work out pretty well. Swing up through Jeju City, stop at my precious Adia, do some writing, and then carry on. Speaking of carrying on, this is where I got to transfer to a bus, but I do have some thoughts about taking breaks, the nature of taking breaks during a long-ass project like writing a novel. But let's wait till I get on the other side of this bus ride, and then I'll continue yammering at ya. Well, man, that felt very good on a multitude of levels. It felt good to get out of the horrifying heat. I just saw that it's 27 degrees right now, Celsius. Get out of the heat and get into a nice air-conditioned coffee shop. And then it's my favorite branch of coffee shops here in Korea. Adia Coffee just has a really awesome touchscreen. So I set it to English, go to the touchscreen, order my, what did I get? It's like toffee nut or something. It's their most expensive iced latte. Add an extra shot of espresso. You know, like, it's not that I can't order stuff from clerks, but you never know. Sometimes people are great at English, sometimes they're not. And even just little stuff like extra shots of espresso and things. It all sounds so easy, but it's just, you never know when you're going to run into not only like language stuff, but it is surprising how small the difference in a word can be, and it just really messes stuff up. I can't think of a good example here in Korea, but like in Japan, for example, it's not coffee, it's kohi. And it's a little thing, but it'll fuck shit up. You wouldn't expect it to, but I mean, you gotta think about like in North American terms, like, you know, say instead of the word take, somebody said trake. Well, trach is a thing, like a trach ring, you know? And it's like, why are they saying trach right now? That doesn't make any sense in this context. And you got to rewire the situation and guess that they meant to say take. I don't know, that's just an example off the top of my head. Where when you think about it that way, it's a lot easier to understand how like these little things that you would hope wouldn't be a big problem. They would be a big problem for you too if the shoe was on the other foot. One little sound being different. I mean, it's a different word now. It just fucks shit up. It's just so nice to use the touchscreen, for me and for them. And there's no tipping culture out here, so it's not like I'd be putting a tip in their tip cup if I ordered directly from them. I'm not helping the clerk out in any way by ordering in person. You know, ordering from the little screen is just better all around. but only IDEA is guaranteed to have an English touchscreen that takes credit cards. It's the only one that I've found that I can rely upon. My favorite branch. Then also, because I had that, so that was also my first coffee of the day and a double espresso blast. It felt so good in the air conditioning, getting my first blast of caffeine and writing. I'm kind of glad how easily I slipped back into it, you know, because I have been just kind of taking a break, just being like, whatever, fuck it. There's no easy accessible coffee shops in Seguapo that work for me. You know, I mean, I could make it happen. I could force it, but no nice, easy ideas. So I just gave up. The idea of sitting on a rock by the shore and doing some writing, very romantic notion. But realistically, I mean, history has shown I really only work well at coffee shops. And now, I mean, as the weather gets hotter and hotter, 27 degrees, no fucking way, dude. Like, it's okay to hike around and, you know, there's a limited amount of your brain you need for walking. You need your whole goddamn brain for writing, and it's just not going to happen. So yeah, just sitting down and doing some writing also felt very good. And it's like, ah, nice. Because, you know, I think it is good advice generally that I've been spewing to not stop, because that's what's fucked me every other time. You know, you stop for a while and next thing you know, you've stopped forever. I think it was kind of good to have that in my head of like, just don't stop. Because over the course of all these years, I haven't stopped very often. I think I would have stopped more if I hadn't drilled it into my head that I just wasn't allowed to stop. But realistically, over all these years, over the course of something this big a project, of course, you know, you're going to stop eventually. We're not robots. Though it's hard to predict what will cause a stop, you know? Like, I stopped during COVID when all the coffee shops were closed. I stopped here in Asia just because I was hiking around in the beautiful sunshine, and that's just what I was doing. I didn't stop when my dad died. I don't know, you'd kind of think maybe I would. And maybe it helped that I didn't stop. Maybe it helped keep my mind off things. I don't know. I don't have a clear explanation for why I do fucking anything. But that's what happened. That's how it was. Oh, I can hear cheering and jubilance. I'm on top of this mountain, but I'm walking toward a beach. And people are partying down at the beach, that's for sure. So yeah, I'm glad that I slipped back into it so easily. And this is my new bus route, I believe. This is what it's going to be from now on. Instead of taking the bus all the way around the edge of the island, now that I'm so close to the northern part of the island, it just makes more sense to take this alternate bus ride straight north. And it just happens to dump me out right by my favorite coffee shop. So I'm just going to try to make this part of the routine now. You know, one thing that was all right about taking a break is spending $6 a day on lattes is literally one of the more extravagant things that I do when I travel. The bus ride's like a couple of dollars, and that's my entertainment for the day, is that I went, took a bus ride to a new part of the shoreline and go walk and just grab some snacks on the way. But think of all the latte money I've saved by fucking off lately, by fucking the dog. So now we're back. We're back to spending $6 a day on lattes, but obviously it's a good thing. Get back on the writing tip. But yeah, what I noticed about this, about taking this little break, is it was also handy because, you know, it just helped me iron out something. Obviously, I'm not concerned with going fast. I'm not concerned with amount of output. I'm not concerned with getting a bunch of books done. I just want whatever books I do get done to be as good as I can make them, no matter what the pace, just slow and steady. And I was saying last episode how I felt particularly weird about this one part that I'm at, because it's the explosion of the station, and it's kind of a pivotal moment. It's sort of what the thing is named after, but it also felt really weird because it's not like how I normally write stuff. I'm a very non-descriptive writer. I like to just give some vague details and make a vague sketch and let people interpret that and build an image in their mind, just because that's what I like to do. If that's not what you like to do, sorry, I'm not the writer for you. I'm just doing what I like, and that's what I like. So I was additionally dragging my feet, not only because of the circumstances I'm in right now of just wanting to just focus on traveling and not having a convenient coffee shop, but also I was not exactly going out of my way to want to write, because I just was like, this part is literally nothing but description. And that's just not what I do, you know? I toss descriptions in scantly along with other stuff. I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see when I go back and revise this book, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find, like, here's just a whole paragraph of just something being described. Maybe, but I doubt it. I just don't like that shit. I just don't like excessive description. And my idea of excessive description is fucking any description. So this idea of just, like it felt boring to me in a weird way. And it's like, this shouldn't be boring. It's the fucking ship exploding. Like, you know, again, if it was a movie, great, you know, we can choreograph it to music, it'll look beautiful. But to just sit here and describe that for however long, you know, it's still going to be pretty short, a page and a half or something, I don't know. But it's just like, I'm not excited at all about writing that. But I just didn't think about it too hard, because I was like, who cares? I'm taking a break anyway, I'm not writing at all right now. So eventually, after, you know, I don't know, a good month, I guess, of me just walking around Jeju Island and doing nothing, fucking the dog, which I don't know why that expression came back to me, something people on the east coast of Canada used to say for someone who's lazy. Ah, that fucking guy, he just fucks the dog all afternoon. Maybe that's what I'll call this episode, The Benefits of Fucking the Dog. Whew, down by the beach. Very fucking pretty down here. But yeah, what occurred to me, you know, slowly wormed its way into my brain. You know, the other thing that's good about writing every day, even if you only do the tiniest little bit, is that it gets your brain on the right track. Just it cues your brain to think about your story and think about what's going on and think about the issues you're having. But this eventually wormed its way into my brain even without going back to it every day, just in the vaguest back of my mind, where of course I'm still always thinking about this fucking novel all the time, just in a very vague way right now. But it occurred to me that I could use my own advice that I've brought up many times. And it seems like that is kind of the deal with this podcast. Very limited advice that I just keep repeating over and over, but it's always applicable. There's, you know, write every day. Don't give yourself a break. Just get a little done every day. With, you know, asterisk. Sometimes, you know, breaks are going to happen. But try not to. In general, I think that's still very good advice. It certainly got me as far as I am. But then the other thing that's been coming up more and more in the later parts of this book is just make sure you don't skip past something. Don't just perfunctorily write something to get you from A to C. Make sure you write the B part. And if it's not interesting to you, if you feel like you're just skirting past something, give it a little thought. Figure out what's going on in your brain. Figure out what's missing. Figure out why you're not excited. But I hadn't even been thinking about the story enough to realize that I was in that situation again. But I totally was, like, big time. This is like the most severe example yet. I was just gonna just fucking describe an explosion all of a sudden, out of nowhere, when I've never ever done that before. And I'm not interested in that type of writing anyway. I just don't care about not only descriptions, but descriptions of an action-packed thing. Get the fuck out of here. That is 0% what I care about. That is 0% what interests me. So why the hell am I doing it right now? And I guess it was just because, like, I have to. I have to describe the station exploding. I can't not. That's where we're at. That's what has to happen next. So it took quite a while for it to sink into my thick skull that my approach was way wrong. And the solution I came up with, super easy. Barely an inconvenience. It's just, you know, it's just hard for these things to occur to a person sometimes. Even if it's very clear and very easy and very obvious, you still, like, you can't know it till you know it, right? All I realized is I've taken Surratt out of the equation here. I'm thinking about this section and writing it as though Surratt's not there, as though just we're all just impartial, like I'm just floating in space describing this event. But I'm not. Surratt's the one in an escape pod floating in space watching this. Every single moment of this story so far has been filtered through her. Why the hell wouldn't it be now? Why did I forget about that? So the little tweak, smallest little thing, but I just realized, oh, like, I don't need to just describe the explosion visually, I just need to add in, how does Surratt feel as she watches, you know? Tiniest little thing, but it makes all the difference. That's what I did today, as I just sat down and hammered out some rough notes of like, all right, here's what I had as far as descriptions of just everything was going to go extra quiet, extra dark. You know, the Akamulon, he's got this planned out, like a, you know, like a concert. He is going to play this up big, and this is kind of also confirms to Surratt that the Akamulon's on her side, you know, like he's down with this plan. He clearly wants to, it's hard to tell why he wants to put on this big show for all of the Nadarian that are all in their escape pods floating, just watching. Is it a mean thing? Is it because it's tired of them? Is it because it wants to rub their face in what's happening? Or does it just want to do this beautiful, cool thing? You know, she can't really say because it's an alien. She doesn't know what it thinks. But it's clear that it's not, this is not a perfunctory explosion. And she even thinks like, geez, you know, if I had been in charge of this explosion, it would actually suck. It would just be like a pipe bomb, crack, boom, over. But because the Akamulon is handling this, it's going to be like a goddamn light show, like a fireworks show. So it starts off dark and quiet, and then like electricity crackles around, but it's got different colors. And she kind of realizes too, like it's not actually electricity, because she doesn't really understand how the station works, but it's like spores and pressure and all this stuff. But the result looks weirdly like electricity, except it has colors. Oh yeah, also as far as, yeah, the feeling thing, when everything was dark at first, also the hugeness of space hits her at that moment of like, oh yeah, I hadn't really had time to think about the fact that I'm just floating in space and this is scary and weird. But then the lights start and she's drawn to that. Anyway, then the big explosions are going to start and it's going to be all crazy. But yeah, just that little thing, like, if I had been forcing myself to write every day, I mean, it wouldn't hurt, you know, I could just still rework what I had. But I was really having a tough time because I was pushing forward the wrong way. I would just have a stale description that I could then go back and re-edit. But it's no big deal, I think, in this specific case especially, that I've really been taking a break and doing so little, because I didn't even understand what I was supposed to be writing. You know, it would have been not all the way there, to put it lightly. It would have needed a lot of reworking. So it's nice that now that I'm getting back on the horse, it also coincides with just, you know, a couple of days ago, I had this realization that, oh yeah, I'm leaving Surratt out of the equation here. What's important is her reaction to this explosion, the way it makes her feel, her body's reaction to seeing this. That's what I was leaving out. That's what I was forgetting. And yeah, again, it's not complicated. It's very obvious now that I say it, now that I know it. But sometimes it just takes time for this shit to sort itself out in your brain. And I would still say that overall, probably it's better to try to just pick away every day. It's certainly safer because, again, you can't stop if you don't stop. But sometimes life is just gonna get weird and you are gonna stop. And there can be an upside to that too, you know? Everything is a contradiction, everything's a catch-22, everything's complicated, there's no actual hard and fast rules. And in this case in particular, taking the break definitely helped, because yeah, it's just like, I was just doing the wrong thing. And I needed to let my brain chill the fuck out and figure out what the right thing is. Delightful. All right, well, I'm at this beach, and it's all pretty and shit. So I think I'm going to bid you adieu. But for Song of the Day, Bring Me the Horizon put out their new album, Posthuman Volume 2, Posthuman Part 2, Next Gen. So I've been listening to it a lot as I walk around this island, and it's going to be cool because I'll always think of that now in the future. Whenever I listen to this album, I will definitely think of Jeju Island because the two things combine together. But there's this song, Kool-Aid, that it took a bit for this song to sink in with me, because when I first heard it, I thought it was just kind of a Marilyn Manson Mechanical Animals ripoff kind of song. I was like, I feel like I've heard that before in 1998. But what I eventually realized is that this song has the best chorus, like such a good chorus. This chorus, like once it's sunk in, it kind of gives me goosebumps. It's really fucking good. And the video is cool too. It's just Kool-Aid with a K, Bring Me the Horizon. If you remember way back when I was traveling pre-COVID, my first time I went to Japan, I did a whole little series about like a vague idea I had for a story based on Bring Me the Horizon songs. And it was cool to see this video because it really looks like that. It has a dancing elf girl for some reason that doesn't really fit. But besides that, the tone of the music video for Kool-Aid really feels like I'm like, that movie I was talking about, it would probably feel like this. Whoever directed this music video, I would hire them to fucking do this fucking movie too. Just cool. But yeah, check out this chorus, man. It is so good. 'Cause you got a taste now, drank the Kool-Aid by the jug. So suffer your fate out, come here and give me a hug. 'Cause nobody loves you like I love you, oh my dear. That's the part that, like, it gives me goosebumps. As you should have known that this was gonna end in tears. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. Man, this is eerie. I'm just wandering a bit away from the beach while I wrap this up, while I sing to myself awkwardly. And there's like rusty old barbed wire over here. Jeez. I don't know what property this is or who owns it, but they're like, fuck you, beach people. Don't fucking come near here. Good advice. I'll turn back around and go to the beach. But all right, Kool-Aid by Bring Me the Horizon. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. So close to the end of this book. So fucking close. Adios.
Some shit like that.